going verse by verse. We have gone through chapter 1 and chapter 2, dealing with creation, dealing with a perfect world, a perfect garden, making of Adam, making of Eve. We've watched as God brought Eve to Adam, had the perfect wedding. Everything was finished. Everything was just absolutely perfect. And what do I mean by that? There was no competition. You got to remember, I mean, there's only two people in the world. There's no competition. There's also no rain, no storms, no thorns, no bugs. Just two people living in paradise walking with God. That's the life they had. Now, what could possibly go wrong? Hence, we get to chapter 3. But while you're in chapter 3, I want you to watch as the most cunning creature that has ever existed, that God ever made, uses his wisdom to ruin mankind. We'll learn from how Eve was entrapped in his skullduggery, whatever you want to call it there. And we're going to ask ourselves, what is it that here we are at Mother's Day, what is it that moms need to do so that they don't lose what they have? Because Adam and Eve here are going to lose everything. And when they do, I mean, you can look and analyze and everything, but in the end, was there anything that they could have done that would have turned the devil back out of the garden and been able to stay the course? And the same is true for us. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. We're told in the New Testament to be vigilant. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Behold, Jesus promises, I come quickly. Hold that fast." Hold it tight, which thou hast. You say, "Well, I don't have a car. I don't have, you know, much money. I don't." Listen, whatever you have, you need to hold on to. It says, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thine." What does he call what a Christian has? Your crown. See, sometimes we look at our kids and we look at our husband, we look at our wives, we look at our rented apartment, we look at our job, we look at it, we just think it stinks. God says, be careful, because the devil's going to sneak in there and rob you of everything that's precious and important and priceless. Hold it fast, okay? Because what we have been given is just as priceless as what Adam and Eve had been given, and we're losing it. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help moms and dads, husbands and wives, old and young, every one of us to take heed to what we're about to learn. Lord, this morning, may our ears be open to the word of God. May you bless hearts, but also pierce our hearts. Don't let us be content and looking at everyone else. May we look at our own life and see how the devil is robbing us. We got to stop it. We got to lock the doors. We got to close the windows. We got to stop him from being able to have access to the things that are most priceless and most important, both to us and to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless our meeting this morning, the hearing of your word and the doing of it, the obeying of it. Lord, may somebody get saved this morning. May somebody learn that it's all a waste. No matter what we accumulate in this world, if we lose it at death, if we lose our own soul, may somebody finally be able to trust you fully and know that you are the Savior and that you love us. You gave yourself for us. May we look unto Jesus this morning. And may you save somebody and may you just heal some marriages, fix some homes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, and let's meet the first family. Genesis chapter 2, just want to build your understanding of the context of chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, we'll start in verse 21. We talked about this for the last couple of weeks here. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. What was wrong with Adam? He was alone. So God said back in verse 18, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. And so in verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. We call it the first surgery. And he slept. And he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman. Didn't make Eve the same way he made man. He made Adam out of the dirt. made Eve from a rib. And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This is like me. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, start a new family, cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, this is the first family. You start off here. They're in a perfect home. She has her husband living with her in a garden. You know what that meant? No neighbors. Just beautiful views in every direction. And kind of like living in Cary. They had no children yet, so they really were happy, I guess. It's only she and her beau. She has the best marriage as well. They live in perfect harmony at that point. Each was complementing the needs of the other person day after day, each deeply in love with the other person. Sounds like a honeymoon. There's no doubts about the other's attraction. There was nobody for Adam to be attracted to, all right? There was no competition, and there was no history to keep bringing up either. They were just fresh. It was a perfect marriage. They had perfect worship. Nothing was confusing to them about God. Nothing was hidden. As a matter of fact, God walked with them. God talked with them. They heard him speak to them. They loved God, and they knew God intensely loved them. They had perfect worship. There was no stress. There were no hassles to deal with, no storms, no thorns, no bugs, like I said. They were eating the fruits. There were no schedules. She has perfect weather. You know this was not Ireland. You know what there was? It was just like living in a sauna. There was steam rising every morning out of the ground. There was no rain yet. It's perfect weather. She has perfect health and a perfect body. You know what she did when Eve woke up every morning? She woke up full of energy. She probably had the body of someone around 25 years old. That was when you were at your peak, ladies. Gentlemen, we are peak around 30 years old. She has no gray hairs, no visceral fat, no varicose veins, no headaches, no achy joints, no swollen feet, no spots, no warts, no brown patches, and no crooked teeth. I mean, she's got a perfect body. Everything was perfect. Why? Because God made it. See, God, you and I, we make stuff. I mean, you remember, maybe your kids made you a card, and maybe they made a mistake, and they, you know, spelled mother, M-O-D-E-R, you know. You didn't get that. But mother, anyway, murder, R-D-E-R. And they make the mistake or whatever. There was no mistakes. Everything was a gift from God. And James 1:17 says this. You need to remember this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that's perfect in your life, God gave you. You say, well, I worked for this. Well, I'm glad you worked for it, but in 2 seconds, it could be gone. So every good and every perfect gift you got from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we come to chapter 3, and we meet a thief. You know, if something's really priceless, you know what happened? What would happen if you won €1 million? Goodbye. Mona's gone. But you know what you'd have to do if you got kids and you won 10 million euros or 300 million euros or something? You know what you'd be a target. People be watching you on the news, being interviewed. Oh, I'm going to spend €1 million a day and I'm going to do this. And then people figuring out, where does she live? You'd be a target by a thief, wouldn't you? By a kidnapper, somebody trying to get ransom. Well, you know, if you have such priceless things that God has given you, you better understand the devil wants those things. Not so he can have them, but so he can ruin them. Enter the thief. Now, Adam and Eve are both doing their own things in the garden. They're not together at this moment. And by the way, when you're married, you can't be together all the time. But that was when something stepped into view. Let's look at chapter 3. I want to read 3:1-8, and then we'll go verse by verse through this. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Genesis. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, I wish I could say it with like a snake, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So here we find a serpent, a real live sneaky snake. You know, God created every animal. He created serpents, including snakes there. But this is no ordinary snake. He's very unique. He's not a fairy tale snake either. This isn't just a story that was made up to like a creation story. No, this is what actually happened and where sin came into the world and how death by sin now took over. I want you to see. We're going to see it over this week and next week. This is Satan. This is the devil. This is Lucifer, disguised as a beautiful serpent that walked and talked and seemed to make a lot of sense. 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to this in a few minutes, but I got some scriptures to show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start down in verse 1. It says, would to God that ye would bear, that ye could bear with me a little in my folly. I want you to put up with me for a minute. And indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you, Christians, with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, we'd say engaged you, to one husband. I've prepared you to spend eternity with Jesus, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. He's talking to Christians now. Watch this. Lest by any means, and the devil will use any means he can think of. He doesn't operate by rules. Lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And this, when Paul is referring to that, he's referring to a real event, and he says that snake came along and beguiled, tricked, and ruined Eve. Look in verse 14. You say, but how do you know it's the devil? Look at verse 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed even into a angel of light. If the devil walked into this church, you couldn't tell he was a devil because he'd look like the nicest, sweetest, most upstanding person you ever met. That's how he appears. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. Revelation chapter 12. Go all the way to the right again. Revelation chapter 12. I'm so glad you're here today. It's not by accident that you're here. And I have prayed that the Lord would speak to every heart and help everyone. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old, what's he? Are you with me? Revelation 12, 9. That old serpent going way back there called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Did he trick Eve? Yes. Did he lie to Eve? Yes. Did he deceive Eve? Yes. Does he still do it? Yes. Which deceiveth the whole world. Well, he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And that's a good thing. So the truth is, this serpent is possessed, inhabited by Satan himself. Satan uses this serpent so that Eve doesn't see who Satan really is. And he used that serpent to destroy Eve and ultimately Adam. Satan can take control of people's lives. You read about in Mark chapter 5, what we call the demonic of Gadara. It's a demon-possessed man living in tombs. He's cutting himself. He's crying day and night. He's living with manic depressive cycles, and he's destructive. He's trying to commit suicide. Nobody can control him. What's in him? The Bible says 2,000 demons. Jesus comes along, hallelujah, and delivers him, doesn't he? But I want you to see the devil can get inside of people and can take over. He can, and I won't have time to show you, 1 Kings chapter 22 has got a bunch of false prophets going around, and they're speaking and preaching for God, and they're possessed with a lying spirit, the Bible says. So just because somebody stands behind a pulpit doesn't mean that they're right. That's why you need a Bible just as much as I do. We've got to check each other out, because anybody can lie to you. Anybody can put on a good show like the devil. So we meet a serpent. He's not as he seems. Now, this has got to be really cool. I mean, if you watch Up, that one of the most amazing films there, the kid, whatever the kid's name is, he meets this dog, and the old guy is saying, leave the dog behind. And what does the kid say? But he's a talking dog. And it's really impressive. It's a cool film. I thought Up was one of the best that's ever been made. But can you imagine? Here's a snake talking to Eve. It was very unique. Now, what is he? The Bible says back there in Genesis chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That means he's careful. He's super wise. He's cunning. He's crafty. If I don't know if you've ever encountered a snake, probably not here in Ireland, but when I was a kid, I'd be going, my dad taught me to watch out for snakes because there'd be garden snakes in our garden all the time. And you never know they're there until you're right there on them. Snakes are very smart. If they're coming up on their target, they don't announce it. They slither up. They are cunning. They're subtle in the way they approach their target. You don't hear them coming. And folks, I want to tell you, beware of people who sound so right, but they won't let you question them. They don't care about you. They don't care about the truth. They just want to use you for something. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Did you notice the serpent did not walk up to Adam? He's targeting who he knows he can trick. He's very smart, because Adam would have kicked him right into orbit if he had tried to talk to Adam. Adam says, you don't belong here. Especially when he starts to correct God, Adam would have kicked him out of the garden. But what is interesting about this thief, he's a talker. The Bible says back there in Genesis, go back there to Genesis chapter 3. Let me just get the weight of this statement here. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, I mean, he starts talking, and he speaks probably as Hebrew. It's either that or Texan, I'm not sure. But he reasons with her. He speaks to her. It's kind of interesting to me. I wrote this note down. It says, women love men who talk, which is kind of unusual to me. Just saying, he's a talker. He knows what she would like to hear. But he's not a talker. He's a debater. And he says, again, he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, we're going to look at this more next week. But this week, I want you to get this. He didn't ask her about the weather. He didn't ask her about how she was doing today. He questions what God said. Did God not say that you can be eating from every tree in this beautiful garden? You know, psychologists call this the power of suggestive questioning. And he's going to use Eve's own thinking to bring confusion and discontentment and to get her to ruin her life all by herself. Listen to Eve's response in verse 2. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So far, so good. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, should have stopped right there. Would you agree? But then she adds, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You know, God never said anything about not touching the fruit. You know, if you're a gardener, you have to handle things. You have to prune. You have to dig up. It wasn't that this was acid. This wasn't poison. But she's added to what God has said. He's starting to get her to believe that God was excessive in his rules by getting her to add to the very words of God. And you know, if you give the devil an inch, what's he going to take? A mile. Did you notice the progression? Satan instills doubt first. Yay. Did God say? Eve then exaggerates what God said. And you're going to see now, then both decide to throw out what God says. And that's when Eve will decide to follow her heart because the devil is a liar. Verse 4. Watch this. Look how quickly it collapses. And the serpent said unto the woman. Again, she said, oh, if we even touch it, we'll die. And what does Satan say? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Man, does he speak with authority? You know what he's doing? He's taking the place of God now. He begins to lie and to beguile and to deceive Eve. And he acts, and I believe he's acting like he has such compassion. I mean, what a negative thing to talk about. Death, you're not going to die. Well, he sounds so good. He acts like he's thinking of her needs. But you know who he calls a liar? God. Can you imagine that? You shall not surely die. You know, it's like that on YouTube. You get people who speak with such authority and they've got this opinion, they've got that thing. You know, that has created more confusion today. You're not finding truth anywhere. We left truth when we left the Bible. And so everybody's watching, oh, you should watch this YouTube, you watch this person, oh, they've got all the facts. Are you sure? The devil had all of the facts, folks, and they were wrong. And then Satan tells her a complete and utter falsehood. Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, as if their eyes were closed, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Go to John chapter 8. Go to the right. Find John chapter 8. John chapter 8, in verse 44. Hope you came to learn some Bible this morning. John 8, 44. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking to the crowd and mainly to the Pharisees, but I want you to hear it. Ye are of your father the who? And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a... Now, what did he say to Eve? Oh, you won't die. But what was Eve? What was Satan actually orchestrating? The death of Adam and Eve. He is a murderer, isn't it? That's what it says from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and he's the father of it. So this serpent is a thief. He's been watching Adam and Eve run around the garden, and he's been waiting for his chance. He's been thinking of nothing else except how to take from Eve, and ultimately Adam, and ultimately the entire human race, everything of value. You're in John. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. Jesus speaks of himself in this chapter as the good shepherd. And as the door of the sheep. And then he says in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to, first thing, steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Satan sought to rob Eve of everything that she had. Did she have a good life? She sure did. So he's a thief. But she is hooked. She believes him. Look in back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Genesis 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I mean, she's bought it. She's believing him. She doesn't believe she's going to die. She believes she's only going to be upgraded. Things are going to get better. Now, I want you to understand what has just happened. She has been convinced that God is her problem. That God has held back on her. That God has lied to her. And I kind of wonder, why today do I have to remind people God is not your enemy, the devil is. The serpent beguiled Eve. And Satan had convinced Eve that God is her problem. As I said, that God just wasn't being honest with her. He's lied to her. He's holding out onto her. He's keeping deeper wisdom and knowledge from her. He doesn't want her to be like gods. By the way, that's what the devil wants, but we'll show that in a moment. But folks, God's not Eve's enemy, and he's not your enemy. You say, every time I get to the Bible and I read it, it brings conviction to me. It makes me feel embarrassed. It hurts when I read the Bible. Yes, but that's not your problem. That's exposing a problem. Your problem is not God. The problem is the devil and how he has twisted your understanding. If you only knew the gospel, if you only knew why all of this history, all of this working is toward one point, and that was toward the cross, so that the best man who ever lived died for the worst, you'd enjoy this book again. Satan is the real enemy. I feel like I'm talking to children today, and I'm warning them to watch out for guys who are giving away candy from the car. Did your parents ever warn you of that? Of course they did. Why? Because the guy pulling up at the car, handing out the candy, is not as he seems, is he? And when you're enamored by this beautiful world, when you're enamored by the guy who winks at you, when you're suckered into all the lies of this world, you've got to know there's a reason for it. There's a thief who's going to either rob you of everything, or he will kill or destroy. I'm going to tell you this. We blame our politicians, folks. I'm going to tell you, we blame our neighbors. We love to blame. But you know who's the source of all of our problems? It's the devil. We have a way to protect our homes. We have a way to escape the judgment of God on sin. We have all of that. But there is a force that is at work right now, and whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, he's winning. So quit blaming your husband or your parents. Don't think that your job is your problem or your past. Satan is the reason why everyone needs God. If you don't have a job, well, that's a good reason to pray. But the problem with the job is not your real need. It's what the devil does to you when you are defeated, when you are tricked into thinking, I don't need God. Satan is the reason why every one of us needs God more than we realize, especially moms. What is Ephesians? Go to Ephesians. I want to show you Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Because who is the devil hurting and ruining more than ever? It's those who are moms. Those who should be the most highly honored and prized and protected. And who has the devil made such abuse of? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who are we fighting? Are we fighting against your neighbors, fighting against your family? No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. Those are demons, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our battle is. Satan targeted Eve. And Eve needed God at this moment. I'll say this. Stop fighting any and everybody and start wrestling in prayer. Because people aren't our problem. The economy's not our problem. The weather's not our problem. The devil is. And he knows our weaknesses. So stop letting the thief into your heart, your home, your life. Moms, dads, doesn't matter who you are. Eve sitting there entertaining this talking snake, thinking he's not dangerous. She's far too trusting. And in this whole thing, Adam, we'd say, Adam easily should have been there and protected her. Agreed. I don't think Adam's there at all. Or else he's the stupidest man who's ever lived. Because he would never have allowed this to happen. But Eve has to have her own relationship with God. What is Satan's problem? I got to show you what's the background on this. He lost his own position. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Do you know Satan started off at the top and was the most prominent being God had made up until Adam? Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. Ezekiel 28 verse 13. God speaks to Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And he had. Every precious stone was thy covering. I mean, he wore it like diamonds and emeralds and rubies. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He used to be the most beautiful angel in heaven. He led the worship in heaven. He led music. He had built-in pipes. Now, we call this a windpipe, don't we? And you and I can sing, usually, we try to sing, out of this windpipe, this esophagus here. He had pipes like you can't imagine. He led music and the worship in heaven. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, which means this, he's at the top. He just was completely covering the throne of God. There were four other cherubs and seraphim that were around the throne, but he was up at the top. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. I put you there. I blessed you with that place. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was perfect in everything he did until, look at verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Look at verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou, Satan, has sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. You ought to underline that and shout hallelujah. O covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. All the devil's interested in is having, controlling, making merchandise of creation. In verse 16 and 17, verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. That's pride. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom that God gave him by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Go back to the left. Find Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to see the mindset and the reason behind Satan doing all of this work against God's creation. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. I mean, hell greets this creature. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Because he's going to hell, folks. I want you to understand this. This is a time when the devil's judge. Art thou become like us in judgment? Verse 11. Thy pomp, your glory, is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy violins. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven? Oh, what's his name? Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. This is his goal. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's the devil's mindset before he was kicked out of heaven. He had this, he had everything that was absolutely most glorious ever. And then he started pondering and taking and going, yeah, I want more. I want more. And so God kicked him out of heaven. You know what the problem is? He sought to be a God. I'll be like the Most High. That's so amazing that he turned to Eve and says, and you can be like gods too. So God promised a judgment hell. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10. You don't have to go there. The 70 disciples all came to Jesus and they were returning with joy. And they said, Lord, even the spirits and the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus, he said back unto them, he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Amen. So he's just telling them, you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the devil lose his position. This creature is full of pride. I want you to remember these thoughts. He's full of wrath against God. He's full of bitterness that God hurt him and thwarted his plans, didn't honor him. And what did Satan do? What did Satan experience? He lost everything, and he only wants to ruin everything now. This creature is going down, and as he's going down and going to be judged, he's pulling anything and everything down with him. The devil's never helped one person ever. He's only used people, whether in politics or in religion. The devil has never, you ought to read a series that was back in the 80s called They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. It's a great series, about four DVDs, about all of the rock singers of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, and watch their lives. Look at the lives of rap singers. These rap musicians, 90% of them die. You know why? Because the devil gives them crazy rhymes and music, and then he throws them away. He only uses people. He's never helped anybody. He wants to ruin everything. Now, what did Eve have that Satan wanted ruined? She had life. She had a life, and she had life in every breath that she took was a gift from God. She had a soul. Just like her husband, Adam, she had a soul made in the image of God. She had a husband. She didn't have just a boyfriend or just a man. She had a man who loved her and was committed to her and was going to be a dad one day. Going to be a granddad and a great-grandfather 10 times over. She had a God-given purpose. She was there to help Adam, to work alongside him in the garden, to glorify God together with Adam, to reflect God's glory. She had a purpose, and she had joy. She didn't just have fun. She had joy in that garden, unending joy. She had freedom. You know, she could eat from, there's probably, I don't know, 1,000 trees in the garden, 2,000. I don't know how many trees were in that garden. I don't know how much fruit was in that garden. I think it's pretty great, the amount of freedom she had, if she's told there's just one you can't have. Isn't that funny? She had real freedom. She had a future. You know what Eve's going to have? A lot of kids. She's going to have children and grandchildren out the wazoo. She had a world to explore with her husband, to conquer and have dominion over. She had a closeness to God. It was so natural for her to wake up and be with God, to just talk to him, talk to her husband, hear him. There was a closeness to God. There was no guilt, no shame, no embarrassment, no hesitation. You know what she had? She had God's words. I won't even take you through it. She had all of what God had said in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. She had instructions. Now, Adam told her some of the things God spoke directly to her. But you know what she had? She had what God said, just like Adam did. And I have to say this, Satan's biggest target today are the words of God, so that you have no hope. And you will struggle, moms especially, you'll struggle to cope and to deal with the troubles of this world and the problem. And I'm here to tell you, you need a book that gives you hope. You need to learn about somebody whose name is Hope. Don't let the devil ever rob you of this book. You may be busy. You may be burned out, I don't know, but that book fixes the human heart. Then Eve lost everything. So did Adam. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll finish this up. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. I don't get the idea this is the end of the story. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she reaches out, she takes the fruit thereof and did eat, and she didn't die. And gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and he didn't die. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Never noticed it before. Now they felt ashamed, and so they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons, and they're trying to cover up what they feel embarrassed about. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden. In a few more verses, if you go down to verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, sent him out to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, mighty angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life so nobody could get there anymore. Eve, and along with Adam, has been robbed. They lost everything important. By the way, Satan only wants to ruin, steal, and kill and destroy you. It is his desire to ruin your life. If you're not aware of it, I'm going to show you in just a minute how to become aware of it. You need to understand that he seeks to rob you of your soul. Matthew chapter 16 says, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How can you lose your soul? You can be robbed. You can sell out and decide, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need to be born again, even though Jesus said I must be. I'm just going to go my own way. And you lose your own soul. You know, Satan wants to ruin, steal, kill, and destroy your family. Wants to destroy, gentlemen, he wants to destroy your wife. I don't know where Adam was, but Satan went in, not because he's trying to help out Eve, he's trying to break her and ruin her. By the way, Satan wants to destroy your husband too, ladies. Don't be so worried only about your husbands. Worry about what the devil's trying to do to destroy your husband. Wants to ruin your purpose, especially your ministry. Did you know God calls every one of us to serve and to do something for his kingdom? But we can blow it. We can ruin it so we're no good to anybody. Satan wants to destroy your joy. I've known people who haven't laughed in years. That's sad. I know people who, when they first thing they do when they wake up, they see a dark cloud. They see trouble. They see problems. Let me tell you, somebody robbed you of your joy. How about your freedom? Eve ends up losing access to all those trees. She had access to everything but one, and now she has access to none of them. How about your health? You know, the teenagers all carried packs of cigarettes in their t-shirts folded up like this. Everybody was smoking when I was growing up. Where'd they get that idea? It's a lie. People think that fornication with dozens of partners will be fun. People think taking the pill constantly every day of your life is healthy. People will believe that beer and whiskey is worth drinking. People end up believing a lie that sitting on the couch day after day instead of working is fine. People believe that eating whatever you feel like eating won't hurt you. You've been trusting the Food and Drug Administration. And they don't think for a minute the devil doesn't want you dead. He wants your life and he wants your health ruined. How about your sanity and your conscience? If you're living every day with constant regrets, unresolved guilt and shame, unforgiveness, you didn't get that from God. We're supposed to be guilty, but we're supposed to be forgiven. You can't carry guilt, folks. If you're carrying guilt from 20 years ago, you need to get forgiven. And then you need to live for God. What does the devil want? He wants to ruin everything that's priceless. Especially he wants to ruin your closeness to God. Now, he can't take away your salvation. Will you agree? He can take away just about everything else. But it's not the end. This is not the end. This is not how the account ends. Now, we'll pick it up next week, but I want to show you what's a woman to do. Moms, listen to this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Well, Pastor, you've told me I've got an enemy that wants me dead, wants me ruined. And it's only by the grace of God I'm alive still to this day. What am I supposed to do if the devil's constantly sneaking around? I can't hear him coming. I don't know when he's lying to me or somebody else. How do I react? Look at your Bible, 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a now, he doesn't always show up as a snake. He's sometimes roaring like a lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So let me just say this. It's called sober vigilance. I looked up Be a Warrior Woman, and I found out there's a book called that. But you need, ladies, to have sober vigilance to be able to do battle against the devil's lies. This is for moms as well as to dads. And how do you fight? You stay close to Jesus. There's not one person in this room, don't look at me, don't think that I'm stronger than you, more spiritual than you, whatever you might imagine. There's not one of us who can stand against the wiles of the devil. There's not one of us who can beat him and be smarter than him and outsmart him and confront him and defeat him. Every one of us. David, ruined by just one look at Bathsheba. Noah, just one glass drinking after the flood there, got drunk. There's nobody who, when they see temptation, who doesn't give in to it sometimes. Doesn't go down with all other people. You better get close to Jesus. Don't rely on your priest. Don't rely on your pastor. Don't rely on your husband to be your soul's protection. Your husband's there to protect your body, but he cannot save your soul. You must draw nigh to God. Go back to the left. Find James chapter 4. Just a few pages there. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Just look at those first few words. Draw nigh to God, and what will he do? He'll get close to you. Go back to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Look at it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot flip that around and go, resist the devil, and then draw nigh to God and submit to God. No. You come up under Almighty God, and you spend time with him, and when the devil comes around, all you have to do is glare at him, and he flees from you. Amen. There's no greater power than drawing near to God. Oh, that Eve had done that. You know what Eve could have done? Now, she didn't think of it. But you know what? I can learn from her mistakes. I can learn from a lot of people's mistakes in my Bible. You know what she should have done? She should have cried out, God! God! Did you make this? He's saying things that you didn't say. Why didn't she do that? There is such power in spending time with God. Don't love the things that this world has more than you love just spending time with God. Fall in love with God over and over and over again. Social media is there to distract you. You know that, ladies and gentlemen. You know that with your kids. Look at your own life, how much time you spend on your phone. If that is distracting you from your home, from church, from doing whatever you need to be doing, and you just not spend any time with God, I'm going to tell you, the devil's in it. Don't get too busy. Go to Psalm 30. Go to the left. Find Psalm 30. Psalm 70, sorry. Psalm 70. Moms, I'm telling you, the devil is out to, he's targeting moms like never before. I used to look out at Christianity. When I first got saved, I saw Christian men and Christian women, but I saw a strength in Christian women that's not there anymore. And you say, is it their fault? I don't know that it's all their fault. I'm just telling you, the devil knows what he's doing, and he's ruining what used to be pure and clean and strong and healthy and vibrant in love for God, ladies, and we've lost it. Psalm 70, you need this verse, this psalm. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. That's what Eve should have cried out. Make haste to help me, O Lord. I don't know how to argue with this guy. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. That's what the devil was after. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha, I found your flaw. I found your weakness. Second thing you need to do is run. You find yourself talking to the devil, run. Say, when do I find myself talking to the devil? When you're nursing hateful thoughts. When lusts are going through your head. If you're just going over and over all the defeats of the past. If you're just discouraged about all your own failures. God doesn't give you those thoughts, folks. Proverbs chapter 18. You're in Psalms. Go to the right prime. Find Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Many of you have found, you get into stupor, you get into discouragement, you get low, you get under attack. You know what you need to do? Cry out to one name, Jesus Christ. Just start praying to him and calling on that name, which is above every name. Look at Proverbs 18:10. The Bible says this, the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. And what does the righteous man do? He doesn't stand all out there by himself. No, he runs into it. He escapes from his enemy. He runneth into it and is safe. That means you come here, you find yourself talking to the devil in your head. Run to your place of prayer and just start spending time with Jesus and realize that he is your strength. He is your stability. He's your heavenly Father who loves you and will get you through this. Fourth thing you need to do, fear having any of the devil's sins in you. What do I mean by that? You know, there are, I wonder, where are the godly women who fear pride, who fear anger, who fear getting full of wrath, who fear having any of the things that the devil is full of? They should say, I don't want to ever pick up that from the devil again. And then believe only the words of God. You know, if Eve had stuck with and said, no, wait, I was wrong. He didn't say, don't touch it. I shouldn't have said that. Serpent, I was wrong. No. He just said, we're not allowed to eat it. And I think God knows what he's doing. I'm stopping there. I'm just going to trust what God said and that he's right. You need to believe what God says. You may feel like you're missing out on something. You may feel like the devil's making sense. Let me tell you this. The world makes a lot of sense, but it makes sense on its way to hell. You know what this Bible is? The Bible says it's the sword of the Spirit. I wonder who I could use it on. You know, you can't hurt the devil unless you quote that book to him. Jesus proved that in Matthew chapter 4. It also is the source of our faith. And the Bible says, I have a shield of faith that can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. I start to believe this Bible. And I mean, you say, Brother, do you really believe that God created everything in 6 days? Yes. Absolutely. You believe everything that Bible is? Absolutely. And it's kept me saner than any psychiatric ward could ever do. Folks, believe that's how you fight against the devil. I want to say one more thing, and that is stay close to your husband. Do not forget this. Do you know the two of you under God are a formidable strength against Satan? Satan picked a time when Adam was not there, because if Adam had been there, he would not have been able to attack. Ladies, don't let anything divide your home. Don't let anything come between you and a husband. Get it settled by the end of the day, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Gentlemen, protect your wife. Don't let anything get in there, because the moment that you step away and that you ignore your responsibilities as the man, the devil's coming in there, and what's he messing with? Stay close to each other. Make your home and your marriage a spiritual fortress so the devil doesn't have any hold. Be a warrior woman. Folks, I'm telling you, the thief is still at work. He hasn't gone away. He's the best liar. He's the most accomplished thief. And he only ruins lives. Now, the truth is, Eve lost almost everything. But God has an answer. As we'll see next week, as you keep reading, they're supposed to die, and they don't. And it's not because God changes his mind. But God already knew when he created this universe, he was going to have to become a lamb. An innocent lamb that would take the blame, that would take the punishment, that would take the place of Adam and Eve and all their descendants if they would just let him. Haven't most of us lost too much? I mean, we just got to stop. Listen, if thieves, we had one time, some teenagers got into our house and stole some things from our house. One time. You let that happen 2, 3, 4 times, you're going to start to figure out, I got to find a way to keep them out. Amen. And when you start to see the devil's been robbing me, robbing our home, robbing my sanity day after day after day, I got to do what it takes so that he doesn't have access like he used to. You and I are deceived. We're sinners. But we don't have to live and die that way. We can be forgiven. It's called being saved. We sing that song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You don't have to live and die like a sinner separated from God. All the restoration work has been done by Jesus Christ. You could be forgiven. And you can have and hold on to all that is priceless. We're told in Revelation 3:11. Hold fast your crowns. Hold fast the things that are really important. If you're holding on to your Bitcoin, you might lose. If you're holding on to your stocks and your investments and your property, you might lose them. But if you hold on to the things that are really important and you'll fight for them, God will say, you know what? That'll stay. It takes just being sober and vigilant, being aware. That's why God, from the very first chapters in our Bible, we're made aware of what our devil's like, what our adversary's like, what our enemy is like, and what he does so that we don't keep losing. Stand with me in bound prayer, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the world is changing, but our needs haven't. And whether we're a mom or a dad, or single or married, or a child or an adult, we need you. And what we have is a need. We have a need for protection. We have a need for stability. We have a need so that we're not hurt so deeply and so regularly by our adversary. He is still at work. And I pray in this church, God, in this church of all places, we would take heed. We would be very, very aware, soberly aware of our adversary, the devil, and that we'd want to fight him. We'd want to resist him in the faith. We want to hold on to the things that are priceless. We sure are appreciative of our moms. But in this day and age, there's been so much hurt against them. Lord, I wish we could just sit and talk about all the good that our moms are to us, and they are. But we got to start protecting them. And they've got to take where they're at seriously, that they are under attack and they don't have to lose anymore. So bless our moms. And bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's grab our hymnal.